G Suite by Google Cloud is a suite of cloud-based productivity tools that includes Gmail, Docs, Slides, Sheets, and Drive. You can make real-time updates to the same document without having to keep track of multiple versions, and since all the tools are cloud-based, your whole team can access the same document and work on the same page at the same time. Make it with G Suite by Google Cloud. To find out more, visit gsuite.com. What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. Me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and our own Fantasy Managing Editor, Graham Barfield. I need a cool, hip intro for you. We have to come up with something.
Yeah. It'll come to us. It has to come organic.
No, it's got to be natural.
Naturally, can't be forced.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll work something out. It'll get there. I was going to say happy week 9, but week 9's pretty much over now, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, and week 10 has already got a little bit of drama. Marcus.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We could have a little bit of drama coming in week 10.
We'll get to that.
Most of us don't want it.
In just a second. But first, I want to go back behind the glass. As always, talk to our man, Sir Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
This point of the season is the thing I noticed. The East Coast games, even the 1 o'clock ones, and we don't get this in L.A., but it's like midway through the game, it starts getting super dark in those games. And now you know it's like this is when it becomes football weather for everywhere but Los Angeles.
Right. Well, I mean, football weather for us is like, you know, well, it's like every other day. It's like 75.
It's
like 75 and sunny.
Very sunny. We check the weather to see if it's going to be 75 or 80. That's basically
pretty much. I mean, I'll say this early in the season. And I guess it's like this in a lot of parts of the country, but it's like brutally hot out here.
And
having gone to USC games at the Coliseum, there's always those games, like the first couple games of the season, where it's like 100 degrees and there's no shade at the Coliseum. And it's kind of a fairly miserable experience.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest with you.
I mean, the 1 o'clock games, they're putting the lights on. It's not even over yet. Like, it's crazy. And I forget that, like, I mean, I used to be an East Coast guy, but now we're here. We're just like, I mean, it's just straight sun.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. By the way, do other places, you guys have to answer this for me. Like, when I know, like in Oakland, for instance, when the Raider games are almost ending, like the Seagulls there have figured out when Raider games end generally. So they start to kind of gather and they like hang out on top of the stadium or on the lights, just like waiting for the games to be over. I don't know if that's like an everywhere thing where the birds have sort of figured it out or if it's just like a thing in Oakland or what.
I remember in the old Giant Stadium back in the Meadowlands. I mean, just a ton of Seagulls everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out like the outs. They had like the spirals to walk up.
Right.
They would hang out over there. Yeah. In the top deck. They'd hang out parking lot. Definitely.
Yeah. It's just, obviously, the birds have figured out, like, you know, when there's going to be, like,
smart
scraps
birds,
left.
Man.
Right, yeah.
Go pick out some popcorn,
you know,
some hot dogs.
Whatever hot dogs are left over, whatever. Like, hey.
Genius.
Props to them. Absolutely. Got a lot to talk about. It's a huge waiver wire day.
Yeah.
Also, you know, not a ton of news. We'll get to some in just a second. But, you know, I got 9 questions after week 9. Things that happened this past week that we can, like, kind of talk about. Just kick around a little bit and figure out what we know going forward as we get closer to the start of the fantasy playoffs. Of course, we'll always get some of your tweets, too. You guys can complain about the things that went sideways for you in Monday morning. But first, let's do some news.
The news.
First big piece of news, AJ Green. We're not sure if we will see him again this year. There was talk earlier in the week that he might have to have surgery on his foot. But the good news is he won't have to have surgery. The bad news is Marvin Lewis is very mum about when we will see AJ Green again. So he's very much up in the air right now. And Fabs, this is a team that's already lost Gio Bernard. They've lost Tyler Eifert. They could be losing AJ Green for the season. I mean, I guess it's good news for Tyler Boyd. It's bad news for Andy Dalton, though.
Yeah, well, I guess this is going to potentially end up being even more of a Joe Mixon offense because they have to hide the deficiencies that they have in the passing game. Yeah, I mean, John Ross is hurt, too. I mean, so this guy is no locks coming.
Water is wet.
You're looking at what, like Josh Malone as your number two wide receiver. Maybe our pal CJ Uzama could be more involved in the pass attack. But Graham, I would ask you this: Dalton's got a great matchup this week against the Saints. Great matchup on paper, but how much does the loss of AJ Green affect your faith in him as a fantasy streamer?
Yeah, I mean, over the course of his career, Andy Dalton has averaged like 1.6 passing touchdowns per game. When AJ Green's in the lineup, that falls all the way down to 1 passing score per game. when AJ Green is out, opens up 26% of the team's targets. I guess it's a boost for Tyler Boyd, who I expect to remain in the slot. In 2016, when AJ Green missed, I believe it was six games with an injury, Tyler Boyd actually remained in the slot in 87% of his routes. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bengals decide to do with Boyd's usage. Do they keep him in the interior? Do they move him to the outside? I fully expect if John Ross, let's keep our fingers crossed, John Ross stays healthy. And I think if Ross stays healthy, Boyd will remain in the interior with Malone and Ross on the outside.
But right. Yeah, and that's where you want him.
As a whole, this isn't great for the Bengals offense.
It's not. No, this one hurts. I mean, he's one of, and it hurts fantasy teams too. I have one share of AJ Green, so now I'm going to be scrambling trying to figure out what to do to replace him. But I mean, this is one of the better wide receivers in the National Football League, and he's dealt with this sort of ailment before, so it does have you concerned that we may have seen the last of him this season.
It's one of those things too where we always come back to like, okay, Tyler Boyd is going to get more opportunity, but AJ Green's loss is such a massive.
Yep.
Thing for this
he offense. Draws defenses, man.
Not
he
only
draws
does he,
defenders.
Not only does he draw coverage to his side, but he's also pretty much their chain mover. Mm-hmm. You know,
I also wonder what this does for the Bengals defense, which is already kind of bad this year. Like now, if you have an offense that can't keep possession, that can't move the ball, and suddenly, you know, if they're going three and out, they have a lot of short drives. Now you have a bad defense that's going to be on the field even more. I mean, we've sort of been picking on the Bengals defense and attacking them a little bit, we might be able to just, you know, go full on fantasy assault on the Bengals defense at this point. Okay, so this literally just happened before we started recording this podcast. And I'm sure if you have been on Twitter.com, you have seen it as well.
Twitter.com.
Le'Veon Bell sent out a tweet that just said, "Farewell, Miami." With the hand waving emoji,
you know.
Now, mind you, he misspelled farewell, but we'll leave that alone.
Did you expect it?
So, okay, because apparently now we have entered decipher things from cryptic athlete tweets season. This means he's going back to Pittsburgh, right? This means that's what this means.
No, just stay away. Stay away. As someone who has James Conner in three leagues. Lev, I can't wait to watch you play football next season.
Yeah.
But next season.
Next season.
I don't want to see it now. And, you know, Marcus and I had Aditi Kinkabwala on last week, and there's all kinds of scenarios in where, you know, Le'Veon comes back or he's not back and he's still a free agent, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, it's cryptic, but it seems to indicate, hey, guys, I'm coming back to Pittsburgh. And it's... bad news if you have James Conner,
I'm done predicting what Le'Veon Bell is going to do, what he's not going to do. I'm over it. Seriously, I give up. I mean, he has until the 14th to report Tuesday. I mean, we'll see.
So here's the scenario, though. So Aditi talked to us last week, and she has said what everyone else is thinking and everyone else is tweeting about. I mean, they haven't skipped a beat. They've been better in terms of the backfield without Le'Veon Bell. Now, if Bell comes back, does he take the starting job right over? Well, think about it. Last year had a much shorter holdout and was really inefficient for the first two games and then started to build back up. And, I mean, we're in week 10. So maybe if Bell does come back, you don't get Le'Veon Bell until week 12 or week 13 at his, I guess, back to being in football shape. And at that point, he's going to have to contend with James Conner either in a starting role or in a committee situation. So, to me, I mean...
I actually think James Conner would have to...
This one...
Because it's Conner's job. I think Conner has to contend with Le'Veon Bell
coming in, eating into
some of his opportunities.
Either way. And that's the problem. You know, maybe Le'Veon is utilized a little bit more in the slot. You could utilize him as a wide receiver because the guy is such a talented pass catcher. But boy, this throws an absolute wrench into anyone's hopes and dreams of getting to their fantasy championships if they've been riding James Conner this long.
But here's the thing. This is always sort of baked into this situation, right? There was always the chance that he could come back. And we always talked about week 10 sort of being that time when he comes back. This has always been baked in. So in theory, if you've been riding Conner, I mean, I don't know, hopefully you created an action plan, you had a contingency or something, because you always knew that this could happen to you.
If you've been riding Conner, you have gotten the gravy train. I mean, Conner's basically been like 90% of Todd Gurley. He's basically been 100% of Kareem Hunt. So if Bell does come back, I mean, you can't really be that upset with your James Conner teams, right? He's kind of carried you to this point.
Yeah, but the problem is
it's free.
I mean, no, I get it, but I mean, like, if you lose that level of production on a weekly basis,
it's true.
Down the stretch and heading into the potential for your team to be making a run at a fantasy championship, it could potentially put a big dent in that hope.
True. We could leave it as this. Common sense has been thrown out of the books.
True.
When it comes to Le'Veon Bell situation.
Right. Yeah, I mean, dude, like, he could practice, my ankle.
Yeah.
My hammy. I don't know if I can get out there, guys. And then he's, you know, set to be a free agent next season, and James Conner finishes the year as the featured back, which is kind of what a lot of Conner owners, including myself, maybe hopes is the scenario. We'll see.
So the other part of this, though, and I'm as we're talking, I'm sort of like digging through and looking at this, right? The Steelers, about 67% of the time, run 11 personnel, right? They're three wide receivers a lot. And obviously, we know Antonio Brown's going to be there. We know Juju Smith's going to be out there. What's to say that Lev Bell doesn't just become that third wide receiver in that offense? And they figure out a way to put both Connor Bell on the field at the same time. I mean, look, and I know that nobody wants to hear this, but we've seen situations where teams can run two running backs at the same time and have them both. Like, and okay, right. James Conner's not going to have bananas numbers if Lev Bell comes back. But we've seen in Atlanta where, you know, for a while it was Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman both succeeding. We've seen in New Orleans where it's been, you know, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram both figuring out how to eat. I mean, what's to say that this can't happen? And yes, that means you probably won't get your, you know, 25 to 30 point game out of James Conner, but you can still get, what, 18 to 20, maybe 25 occasionally? I mean, why not?
It would be interesting to see what they would do, because Juju Smith-Schuster has run like 80% of his routes from the slot this year. I don't know if they would view like Bell as a better slot receiver than Smith-Schuster. That seems like a stretch to me.
And I don't know if Juju can play the outside is the question.
As efficiently as he plays the inside.
Certainly not as efficiently.
I mean, Juju has been incredible out of the slot.
And you would also have to think, too, if this does come down to a committee situation, that when the Steelers get inside that five-yard line, they're going to give the football to James Conner because he has been a more efficient red zone running back than Le'Veon Bell was.
The other part of this, and I'm looking at the schedule, the matchups aren't great.
No, there's some bad ones.
Carolina, they're at Jacksonville, they're at Denver, they've got the Chargers. Then there's the Raiders, so that one's going to be good. You know, the Patriots are so-so, and New Orleans, you're not, yeah, I don't know which New Orleans teams you're going to get on a week-to-week basis, but
I run defense in New Orleans is legit.
Is legitimate.
They're that legit, is, but their secondary is.
Has problems. Yeah. So, anyway, again, this is all speculation because Lev himself hasn't actually said anything. He just sent out, like I said, a really cryptic tweet. A really cryptic misspelled tweet.
Dude, it's like a soap opera.
And
it is.
So, well, I'm sure more will come out about this. In fact, you know, by the time we finish recording this podcast and like grabbing some lunch, there could be a whole new situation.
Yeah, I heard your stomach growling.
Yeah, man, it's rough out here in the streets. So there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. Week 9 is in the books. So I came up with 9 questions to ask after week 9. I know there's still one more game in week 9, but whatever. So here we go. We're going to go down this list and just kind of get you guys' thoughts on this. We'll just kind of talk it out. Number 1, Duke Johnson. Is he a 1 week wonder or is he actually back in our fantasy lives now?
Well, I mean, Todd Haley, I mean, what were you doing, dude? One game into the kitchen's era, I guess, even though it could be interim. And Duke Johnson looks like the dude who we all loved last season, who was seeing a boatload of targets, who was a big part of the Browns offense. Now, I don't know if we're going to see this every single week, but it was certainly a situation where you're looking at Duke Johnson's huge increase in production and thinking, well, you know what? All of a sudden, maybe I can flex this guy. Good matchup coming up against Atlanta next week.
Yeah, obviously, I think it's two things here. The Chiefs were giving up the most receiving yards to receivers out of the backfield per next-gen stats coming into this week. So obviously a great matchup for Duke there. His usage didn't really change, though. He only played on 57% of the snaps. That's basically what he was averaging, maybe slightly higher than his season average, but obviously the 9 targets is what got us home. But the Falcons have led the league in running back receptions allowed for 4 straight seasons. So I think we can go back to the well with Duke once again. And let's face it, the Browns receiver corpse outside of Jarvis Landry
They missed that guy, Josh Gordon, that they gave up a fifth-round pick for.
Rashard Higgins has been in and out of the lineup. He came back in week 9. And Njoku's kind of been in and out of in terms of his involvement over the last 3 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, they definitely need Duke to catch some passes for him.
So, I mean, is what we saw yesterday, is it more a function of Freddie Kitchens and wanting to emphasize it? You know, like the running backs coach trying to emphasize another running back? Or is this more just a, hey, you know what? Carlos Hyde is gone, so things opened up, so we just want to get him in there. Like, Whatever the reason is, I'm fine with it. I just want to try to figure out why all of a sudden Duke Johnson just vaulted back into the relevance.
I do think it's both. It's both the matchup, and then they know that their second receiver outside of Jarvis Landry is kind of in the air.
Who is it? Right.
Yeah. Also, another thing to think about, too, the Browns' offensive line has struggled all year. You know what you do when your offensive line is struggling? Throw the ball to the running back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dump it off.
Which Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson couldn't figure out together for some reason.
Which is strange because, you know, Haley was the OC in Pittsburgh for so long, and then what did they do to throw the football to Le'Veon Bell all the time?
Well, Haley had a great offensive line. That offensive line in Pittsburgh has been excellent for many, many years, and he actually had to go to Cleveland and coach, and it didn't work out very well.
At some point in the future, somebody is going to write kind of a definitive tell-all about this era of Browns football, and I'm curious to see how much the power struggle between Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley just torpedoed this team for the first, 8-9 weeks of the season. We'll find out. Anyway, number two. So, like, we're cool with Julio Jones and Keenan Allen now, right? Especially Julio, like, he scored a touchdown, so we're cool now. Like, we can stop this madness.
I was cool with him before. I mean, I still haven't gotten my touchdown from Keenan Allen, but I'm still cool with him. I mean, I'm riding these guys out week in and week out no matter what.
I mean, literally,
that's obvious.
Somebody tweeted us at Fantasy Live and asked that they should start. They were going to start DJ Moore over Keenan Allen. I'm
if you make dumb decisions like that, then you deserve your fate.
Relax.
You deserve your fate.
So, like, we're cool now, right? Like, this is done. The Julio thing's done.
Keenan Allen's got 60 or more yards in 7 of 8 games. Julio leads the league in receiving yards per game over Adam Thielen, over Michael Thomas. I mean, come on. These guys are yardage monsters. The TDs, at least in Julio's case, will come. But for Keenan, I'm a little bit concerned because his end zone and red zone targets are down this
year. Yeah, because the Williams boys are the ones getting all the touchdowns.
Well, not only that, Melvin Gordon's been more involved as a receiver.
Yes, no doubt.
That's been, Melvin Gordon's just been a home run every single week.
I mean, he's been not as good as Todd Gurley, but he's been close.
Yeah, he's been
close.
Well, but you talked about AJ Green being a chain mover for the Bengals. I mean, Keenan Allen is a chain mover for the Chargers. Like, when they need a completion, when they've got to pick up a first down, generally they're looking toward number 13. So I think as long as he still has that trust from Phillip Rivers and they still want to go to him in big spots, that's really what you want. You want him to be the guy that is the trusted option in the passing game, and Keenan Allen is still the trusted option.
You got the Raiders coming up this week. You got Denver, and they're not Denver anymore in terms of, being so tough against wide receivers. You know, Pittsburgh, you got Cincinnati, you've got Kansas City. There's a lot of good matchups for Keenan Allen to eat.
So 200 yards for Keenan Allen this week against Oakland?
Oh, man, all of the yards.
I'll take it.
All of the yards.
I need
Keenan Allen.
Because I got him in the same league. I got A.J. Green.
Oh, that means this is also time for me to pull out the old Keenan Allen photo of him wearing a Raiders hat right after he got drafted, and the one that drove Charger fans insane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is, I don't know if you've seen it, but right after he got drafted, I don't know if he tweeted it or Instagram or whatever. It's a picture of him wearing a Raiders hat, like drinking out of a straw from a fast food cup or something. It ended up on the internet, and Charger fans, understandably, were none too thrilled about that whole thing. All right, number three. Should we worry about Mark Ingram now? Like, he had his first game back was really nice. He scored 2 touchdowns. He had everybody freaking out about trying to trade Alvin Kamara at that point. Since then, not a whole lot to speak of. He was decent against the Vikings a couple weeks ago, but wasn't really a part of the game plan against the Rams on Sunday. I mean, am I premature in panicking, or is there something going on right now?
I'm a little panicked. I don't know about you, Graham. I'm a little panicked because Kamara and heck, the situation worked out so well for everyone last season. Ingram was getting his touches. Kamara was getting his touches. They were both producing fantasy points. And really, outside of that one game where you could kind of see that Sean Payton decided he was going to rest Kamara and give Ingram some burn because he had missed the 4 games due to the suspension. But since then, Kamara has clearly been the better back, clearly been the better playmaker, and we all know that. But moving forward, like, when you drafted Ingram, you're thinking, man, I'm going to take him in the 5th or 6th round. I'm going to steal him. I'm going to be able to flex him or maybe use him as an RB2 for the rest of the season once he returns. But, I mean, right now, he's not a worthwhile flex starter at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, since he came back, Alvin Kamara has 16 red zone touches to Ingram's 7. Ingram doesn't have a red zone target yet on the year. That's where the concern comes in.
That's a problem.
We want Ingram for the touchdown juice. Mm-hmm. He's been on the field his normal amount. He's played 50% of team snaps. That's completely normal for what we saw last year. But the problem comes down to Kamara's increased red zone usage. Whereas Ingram was the red zone back last year, Kamara is now that this year. And it makes sense because Kamara is, I think, the more dynamic, shiftier back. So
and when they're not he's using so Taysom Hill, every time they bring in Taysom Hill for a goal line package.
That's another thing, too.
I get sick.
Taysom Hill has 6 red zone carries.
I know. Get him out of there.
That's wild.
Now, that's huge, though, for Ingram.
That's wild, dude.
That's absolutely huge. Taysom Hill has become a Swiss Army knife. It's funny, too, because, you know, I have people like popping in my mentions asking about Cordero Patterson and his eligibility at running back. Why don't you guys ask me about Taysom Hill and his eligibility at receiver or running back? Just general flex at some point. I think that's the bigger question you guys should be asking. Number 4, how do we feel about Jordan Howard right now? I mean, like, I feel like he's doing just enough to keep people from like rioting about him in his production. Like, he'll score a touchdown, right? Or yesterday he had 2 touchdowns, but yardage wise, it's not been great. Mm-hmm. I think some people are holding out hope. I know I'm still kind of holding out hope that maybe when the weather gets bad in Chicago, they'll start running the ball and using him more. Mm-hmm. But I keep saying he's doing just enough that you got to think about him every week, but like not enough that you're like, yep, he's for sure in my life.
Here's why you need to go out and get him now. 2 of his next 3 games are against the Lions, and they couldn't stop Graham from rushing for 125 yards and a touchdown. And
well, Graham's in great shape.
He's in good shape. The guy could run, and he could cut on a dime, too, I'll tell you right now. But we've talked about it on TV with Maurice Jones-Drew. When things get cold in Chicago, they're going to start leaning on Jordan Howard and the running game a little bit more. They're going to become that bruising offense, and, you know, I 100% agree with him. You know, we saw Tariq Cohen yesterday put up a stinker for us. Howard was the better back. And I think Cohen is still clearly going to have a big role in this offense. And I don't know that he's going to be putting up 20 every game. But I think Jordan Howard's certainly trending upward. And when you look at the matchups, when you've got a Detroit coming up in 2 of your next 3 games, and you've got a Giants defense that no longer has Snacks Harrison there in the middle, they're a mess at this point. And then you've got San Francisco in week 16. Things could end up, they could end up fitting very well for Jordan Howard to help a lot of fantasy owners make a championship run.
Yeah, a lot of this comes down to game script. Over the last 2 weeks, I mean, they played the Jets and the Bills, completely smashed the Bills, obviously, in week 9. Played pretty well against the Jets. Cohen only had 6 touches in that game. And I went back and looked this year. When the Bears have been ahead on the scoreboard, Jordan Howard has handled 64% of the Bears' RB opportunities. That's attempts plus targets. And when Chicago trails, Tariq Cohen leads the team in targets. So when we can kind of predict the game script, like when Chicago plays Buffalo, for example, we know they're going to smash. Tariq Cohen's probably no longer on the flex radar.
And by the way, if you guys want to get all this info, make sure you're following Graham at Graham Barfield.
Yeah. You know, the thing about yesterday, and yeah, I think we could look at it and see that the game script is probably going to go sideways. I don't think we expected it to go badly as quickly as it did.
Really? With Nathan Peterman?
All right. Maybe not.
Here's what I want to know. How in the hell is Nathan Peterman, and he was competing for the starting job in camp, how is he competing for a starting job in the National Football League while Nick Mullins is 3rd on the depth chart?
That's Kyle Shanahan.
Because some teams are better at quarterback evaluations than others.
Unreal. Yeah. Unreal. But yeah, Peter, I mean, boy, the Jets are available in a lot of leagues. Pick them up this week. That's like, I mean, it's like the one guarantee in fantasy football this season. Well, there's 2. Slot receivers against the Buccaneers and defenses against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, somebody was asking me on Twitter, like, have we ever seen an offense that is so good for fantasy defenses as this year's Buffalo Bills? And I'm sure we have, you could probably find one.
Not in the last couple of years. I mean, we always targeted the Browns, but even the Browns were never this bad in terms of their sacks, their turnovers. I mean, the Bills are just completely inept.
I mean, the one team that I thought about, and I don't even know if they were that bad, was, what was it, the year, I guess the 2012 Cardinals when they went through.
Oh, my God.
John Skelton.
Like Max Hall, right?
John Skelton, Kevin Cobb, Ryan Lindley, Brian Hoyer all played quarterback. But even then, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the Rod Stevens Howling was their leading rusher with 356 yards. You know, I mean, like, Larry Fitz still actually almost put up 800 receiving yards that year, even with
people forget that like Fitzgerald had like a couple of seasons there where he wasn't that good statistically.
Yeah, I mean,
and then he sort of resurrected
because he had some awful quarterbacks were throwing brutal, to him. Dude. So I don't know. Like, I guess I'd have to go back and look, but that was the first team that came to mind was that Cardinals team because they just went through a whole bunch of really.
Isn't Lindley now like the running backs?
He's
coach
the running backs coach for
Browns.
Yeah,
it all comes full circle.
It all comes back around. Time is a flat circle. Number five. Are we back to hashtag never Jets? I mean, like early in the year, we thought, okay, look, Quincy Anunoa was there. You know, the running backs, maybe.
I'm playing their defense this week. I'm playing their defense.
Okay, so maybe that's it. Like, because offensively, there's nothing there at this point.
They've become, as bad as the Bills, but you start your defenses against Sam Darnold.
Because, like Elijah Maguire.
I'm somewhat interested in Maguire, just a little bit, because they need a pass-catching running back. I mean, he came back and played 55% of the Jets team snaps and had 63.
He had more snaps than Crow.
Yeah, exactly. And Crowell's kind of always been a zero in the passing game. So if there's one guy that I'd feel okay with, I guess it's Maguire.
It's like that speculative ad, see what happens, because the Jets are going nowhere. So maybe
Darnold needs some weapons this offseason.
Well, maybe Levy in the future. We'll see.
Yeah, they got to go out and try to find some receivers. I mean, they are. I'm kind of spitballing here, and this has nothing to do with fantasy, but I'm just like, my immediate thought was, what, the Jets are, they're 3-6. They're going to be possibly maybe a top 10 pick, possibly. Maybe N'Keal Harry, the kid from Arizona State, who is just a beast. Maybe he ends up there. Who knows? Anyway, I'm just thinking out loud. Number six, is O.J. Howard an elite fantasy tight end now?
I mean, I don't know about elite.
Like, I mean, look, it doesn't take much to be an elite fantasy tight end.
I was just about
for
to
me,
say
it's
that.
Like, I mean, Kelce and Ertz are the two guys, and I don't even put Gronkowski in that category this season. I'm sorry. He's been banged up, and when he's been healthy, you could be talking about Gronkowski as being one of the biggest disappointments in fantasy football this season. But is O.J. Howard a must-start outside of those two guys? I mean, yeah, I mean, the top of the tight end position has kind of been redefined, right? Outside of Kelce and outside of Ertz. Now you're looking at O.J. Howard. You're looking at George Kittle, who's been really, really good this season. And I refuse to put Jared Cook in this conversation. I refuse to do it because he drives me nuts. I refuse
I'm not
going to
say
do
he's
it.
Elite, okay. But he is right now. He's one of the best fantasy tight ends.
I mean, David Njoku is a good young tight end. We're getting Jack Doyle back finally, who looked really good in the week before Indianapolis's bye week. So we're sort of seeing a little bit of a reconstruction at the end. Greg Olsen looks like the old Greg Olsen over the last couple of weeks, too. Amazing what he's done, too, considering his foot problems. But O.J. Howard is now a guy that you're starting every single week. No question about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's where we are. And look, I shouldn't say it like that, because O.J. Howard has actually played really well.
He's been good, man.
He's played really well this year. He's certainly made Cameron Brate expendable. You remember once upon a time, Cameron Brate was like a thing, and he was no longer a thing.
The touchdown dude, yep.
I just pulled it up. The top four tight ends in PFF's yards gained per route run is Kittle, Kelce, Howard, and Ertz.
Wow.
Those are your four.
Those are your new elite tight ends.
And you also have
really
to consider, too.
What it is, though.
Yeah, and it's the perfect storm in Tampa Bay, and we've said this before. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a great quarterback. He plays on a team with a lot of weapons and a defense that is awful, and game script really helped him last week against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, he had to throw the ball a ton. They weren't coming back. They closed to within a touchdown at one point, but O.J. Howard is a playmaker, and we saw him score two touchdowns yesterday. They're utilizing him in the red zone. And at what is a thin position, this guy's got five touchdowns this season. Pretty good.
And that alone makes you probably a top-tier tight end right now. All right, number seven. So last week I was on this show, and I asked the question, like, is Jordan Reed droppable? And Fabs, you were kind of like, I don't know. I think I'm afraid somebody will pick him up. And so, like, this week he comes out against Atlanta, and he does diddly poo.
You know what I did, though?
I had
Reed. I still have him in one league, but I had three shares of him. I cut him in two leagues to pick up Jack Doyle because I was okay at the position. I had George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, I mean, like, if Doyle's out there on the waiver wire somewhere.
We can trap Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed needs to be. And it's funny, too, because one of my buddies in a league was like, hey, man, guess what? Some idiot dropped Jordan Reed in our league, and I picked him up, and I'm starting this week. I said, I'm the one who dropped him.
Joke's on you.
And then yesterday, after the Redskins gave you a stinker and Jordan Reed did nothing, I texted him, and it was like, How'd that Jordan Reed pickup go for you? And he, you know, threw a couple of four-letter words at me.
they play the Falcons, Washington, or excuse me, Washington plays Tampa Bay next.
I don't care.
Tampa Bay has just allowed 6 for 76 and 1 to Greg Olsen.
But I
they played the Bengals the week before. They gave up Njoku at 52 yards and a score.
And on top of it, we now get word that Paul Richardson's done for the year. So that's one less target.
If Jordan Reed fails, if he fails against the Bucks, then
it's all.
Pick up a streamer. But then again, like you're.
But he's had good matchups this season, and he hasn't been able to exploit them.
That's because Alex Smith.
And now you have no offensive line, none. You're going to have three turnstiles in front of you. Alex Smith is going to get destroyed. And actually, if you think about it, and I get it, like I'm, starting to write start him and sit him. And the two quarterbacks with really good matchups who I'd sit this week, we talked about one, Andy Dalton. He's got A.J. Green out, and Graham gave a great stat there about how many touchdowns he averages per game in his career without A.J. Green. And then Alex Smith, like the guy hasn't scored more than 18 points in a game all season long. He's not the same quarterback he was last season. Totally different system, totally different talent around him. Major downgrades in terms of both. And he's got his offensive line is a mess right now. And so even though the matchup is great, I mean, you don't get a better matchup than playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You just don't. I had to go back to my Chris Berman Buccaneers. But I can't start any of these guys with any kind of confidence whatsoever. I can't.
I'll go with Reed for one more week. And if he fails against the Bucks, then it's over.
I hear you.
That might be the thing that's keeping me hanging on, is that Tampa Bay is next on the schedule. But man, it's hard. It's really hard.
Guys, they gave up 4 catches and 57 yards to something called Josh Perkins back in week
1. But here, I mean, like, Carolina's been bad against tight ends this year, and Reed didn't do anything against them. You know, he's had one decent game.
It's twofold. Alex Smith has not gotten vertical at all. And Jay Gruden refuses to go back to scheming targets to Reed, even though, I mean, they clearly have nothing.
And what receiver scares you on that roster right now?
Well, I mean,
Maurice Harris.
That's a guy I'm going to be starting this week.
Oh.
I am. I mean, sometimes you need to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do in the bye week. So I'm picking him up and I'm going to play him.
I mean, so would you rather have the old Jordan Reed who will give you these blow-up weeks, but you're always worried whether or not he's going to stay healthy, or this new Jordan Reed who you know is going to be there every single week but might only get you like 35 yards?
You know
what's
ironic? The entire Redskins team is on injured reserve right now.
They just
lost Lyle Val. They just lost Brandon Scherff.
Chris Thompson can't get on the field.
And Jordan Reed is the only dude that's healthy.
He's the one that's healthy.
It's great.
It's wild. Great.
You know what we should do? And, you're the stats guy here. Maybe we should look up actually like how many routes he's running every game, how many times, how many snaps he's playing every week. Maybe they've sort of downsized in terms of what he's doing on the football field, and that's keeping him healthy. But it's also basically neutered his statistical upside.
Yeah, they have cut back on his snaps this year. Gruden has done a better job, I think, at managing his snaps, but still, even then, it's been a little bit of a surprise to not see the target scheme to him, at least in a vertical. Like, there's been no vertical element to Reed's game, and that's always been what Jordan Reed's great at, is stretching the field out of the interior.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, number 8. All right, so what do we do with Kenyon Drake now?
Everybody to sell high on him. Everybody. I've been saying it for weeks, and now you're going to be stuck with
him. But it's not even that he's performing badly. It's that, like, he didn't get the chance to.
What was it, Gore? 21-9?
Something like that. I mean, it was ridiculous. Again, it'd be one thing if they were giving him all these touches and he just wasn't doing anything with it. They're not even giving him the ball. And there's no rhyme or reason as to when he gets it versus when he doesn't. Like, there's no – it's not like in New Orleans you look and you're like, hey, Alvin Kamara is the lead guy, and then, Mark Ingram has this role. Or, we know Melvin Gordon's going to get X number of touches for the Chargers, and then Austin Eckler comes in and does – like, there's just no rhyme or reason to when it's a Kenyon Drake day or when it's a Frank Gore day. It is insane. It is driving me berserk. And I figured yesterday, it wasn't a great matchup against the Jets, but it was good enough that if he got some touches, that Kenyon Drake could actually give you a decent number. But I can't figure it out. There's no rhyme or reason.
He has 6 or fewer carries in 5 of his last 7 games.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah. And you look at the numbers, I mean, in his games previous, he was starting to put up some numbers. And that's where I was sell high, sell high, and these big red bright lights, sell high, sell high. Because not only did I know that Frank Gore is not going to go away, it's just not going to happen. And we saw that. And again, I think it was 21-9 the touches in that game, which to me is ridiculous, but I'm not the coach. You also have to look ahead at the schedule, and his playoff schedule is not favorable. So I'd still be trying to trade him. That's just that's been my point of view for weeks now.
I think we can hang on in PPR because he has, you know, four more catches in four of his last five games. I mean, he's okay. He's basically, what, 60% of James White in terms of his receiving opportunity, but that's still not going to get it done in terms of your weekly, like a weekly flex or RB2 starter.
Yeah, just, oh man, it is an absolute mess. All right, question number 9. Is Dalvin Cook officially back? I mean, he had one really big run that, you know, that constituted most of his production yesterday, but he looked great. Are they going to work him back in? Is it back to his being his job, or are we going to get some kind of gross timeshare between him and Latavius?
Well, I mean, Graham can probably share the next-gen stat with us on that run that he had yesterday. Pretty good for a dude who had been dealing with a hamstring. And so now you sort of maybe knock the rust off a little bit. You get another week to rest. And then I would expect, and I know Marcus Grant loves this because he's got Dalvin Cook because he traded him with me. We had a very good trade. And I have Dalvin in one of my leagues too, and I'm waiting. I really think if you look at the schedule and you look at what he did yesterday, that he's going to end up being the featured back for the Vikings down the stretch and help a lot of fantasy owners get to their playoffs.
Personally, I was a little bit surprised the Vikings pushed him to come back this week. I mean, obviously, they're bye in week 10.
100% Cook's agree.
Hamstring has been bulky. He at first said it was cramps, then clearly it wasn't cramps. He tried to play through it and then missed nearly, what, 5-6 weeks. But yeah, you mentioned, I mean, Cook looked awesome on that run. His top speed on that run was 22.1 miles per hour. That was the fastest time any ball carrier has had all year per next year.
What do you think your high end speed is? What do you think?
I honestly, I would have
let's get
maybe,
Graham on the next
15,
gen stats. Come on,
15 or 16. Yeah. Not anywhere close to.
He looked good, man. He looked like Dalvin Cook. I mean,
when
heck.
He's been on the field, Cook has been awesome, and he's been a top running back.
The problem is he hadn't been able to stay out of the trainer's room, but hopefully he can do that down the stretch because he's going to help a lot of fantasy fans. You know, and we're probably going to end up talking about Leonard Fournette at some point this week too. I hope the same scenario holds true for him because I have some shares of him. So
I don't even really want to talk about Leonard Fournette until he is actually back.
I know.
Like, I'm tired of this. Like, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Like, whatever. This is the story of Leonard Fournette's football life.
Did you throw your phone this morning when you saw Leonard Fournette return to individual drills this morning?
No, I didn't. Wow, no. But, yeah, whatever, man. Like, I mean, I wish him the best. I hope he gets healthy and comes back and plays, but that doesn't mean I got to, you know, waste a whole lot of brain energy on him right now. So
he was actually dropped in one of my leagues and I grabbed him up.
Seems a little
aggressive. It was odd. Yeah, it's a charity league that I'm in and I was lucky enough to grab him.
So what, the charity is giving you Leonard Fournette for nothing?
By the way,
I mean, that's well done. Yeah, I mean, I'll take it.
All right. Those are our 9 questions for week 9. I don't think I'm going to come up with 10 questions for week 10 because, man, this was
a lot, dude.
This was hell just coming up with these. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, you know, guys are terrible at taking care of their health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. I mean, sort of like the time I think I tweaked my Achilles and I just sat there with ice on it for like weeks and I limped around. But I'm like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Anyway, same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/live, fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that most guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's easy to take care of. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/live. That's GetRoman.com/live for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/live. All right, waiver wire time. It is a hefty list of guys.
Yeah, I added a bunch of dudes on here to your initial list. Mm-hmm. And I think some of them, like, I mean, in competitive leagues, they're not going to be out there. So we could name a few. Duke Johnson, maybe somebody got frustrated and he cut him. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is now clearly the number 2 wide receiver in Green Bay. he's potentially out there. Jack Doyle, because the Colts had a bye, maybe he was left on the waiver wire, pick him up. Ryan Fitzpatrick was dropped after Jameis Winston reclaimed the starting job. Now that Fitzpatrick has reclaimed the reclaim, I don't know. Whatever the case may be, he's going to start for at least another week. Other guys who may be out there on the waiver wire in some smaller leagues, Tyrell Williams has scored a touchdown in three straight games. Traquan Smith, love the talent there in an offense, of course, that's going to be one of the best in the National Football League. And then we get into some players that are certainly going to be available. And the first name that I want to mention to you guys is the third string quarterback that looked like Brett Favre, who's got a Monday night matchup against the New York Giants. Is Nick Mullins worth picking up?
No.
No.
Well, there you go.
No.
Hey, Eddie, the kid looked great, and these guys just poo-pooed him in 2 seconds.
I mean, it's the Raiders.
It's the Raiders.
But it's the Giants.
But the Giants defense, one, it's better than the Raiders.
It's not that
and
bad.
Two, they care. Like, I'm not sure that the Raiders defense cares a whole lot. At least the Giants care.
Hey, I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying, wow, that was a very swift kick in the pills for Mr. Mullins' value.
Nah, I mean, the Raiders are just total full-on tank right now. I mean, they just cut Bruce Irvin, too. down for them
this
year.
What are you guys doing, man?
I mean, I don't know.
The Cowboys are signing.
You know, plus, the Giants will also have some time to actually, look at Nick Mullins' tape to kind of try to figure out something to do to slow him down.
If we've learned anything, it's that Kyle Shanahan deserves all the money. I mean, C.J. Beathard's been more than competent in his starts. Nick Mullins, looked awesome.
Looked like a Hall of Famer in one start.
Granted, he was playing against air. The Raiders defense is basically
air. It was like a 7-on-7.
Yeah, but anyway.
And what about, we talked about Elijah McGuire. I mean, John Ross, I don't know what the health status of him is. Obviously, if he's available and he's going to play this week, the matchup is there. So he's someone you could potentially target. I mean, I have Josh Malone on the list. Dante Moncrief is someone that made my list for one reason.
It's a revenge.
He's playing the Colts this week, and I believe he leads the Jaguars wide receivers in targets this season.
You mentioned John Ross, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the idea of John Ross is better than actual John Ross.
No, I agree.
It's like I think people are still in love with the idea of John Ross.
But the opportunities are going to be there.
I wrote in waiver wire this week that Ross is an upside stash for seemingly the 116th time in his career. the truth. I'm with you. I mean, I like John Ross's upside, but this isn't just the NFL, and I hate the term injury prone, but he was hurt a ton.
He was hurt a lot at Washington. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He
put it all together for that one year where he was the deep threat. He played well in the red zone, and just since then and since that year.
And he put it together for those 4.2 seconds or whatever it was that he ran at the combine, and even then he got hurt. He got hurt there, too. So, yeah. John Ross.
And then we also have some deeper ads. Josh Adams, speculative ad. Eagles backfield's kind of a mess. But I mentioned Maurice Harris quickly. Now, if Jameson Crowder is out again, and it goes back to the narrative, Marcus Graham, of the Bucs can't stop slot receivers, Harris, big game this past week. Alex Smith clearly has a little bit of an eye for him. So Maurice Harris, as crazy as it might sound, I mean, the Redskins got nothing, and they got nothing. At least the matchup is good. Maybe game script is going to be in his favor as well, where they've got to throw the football, but we also know that the Bucs can't stop guys out of the slot. So if Harris is going to continue to run most of his routes out of the slot, Jameson Crowder can't play again, then, four teams on a bye, you're looking for a guy on the waiver wire in a competitive league, I think Harris is worth a look.
You're trying to convince me or you?
No, me.
I mean,
The world. The world.
All those things in theory seem really, really great, right? But the part of where teams are beating the Bucs is they are beating them downfield, 10, 20 yards down the field. Alex Smith just isn't that guy. I mean, he just is not going to take those chances. He's not going to make those plays. So now all of a sudden, and I think this is part of going back to Jordan Reed and part of his issues, is that now you're really counting on these guys to be huge yards after catch guy. And I don't know that any of their receivers are really, Josh Doctson, Paul Richardson when he was healthy. None of those guys are big yards after. They should have made a trade for Golden Tate. Golden Tate would have been perfect for Alex Smith, right? You catch a little 5-yard slant or whatever, and then you turn it into yards after the catch. He would have been great for this offense. I just don't know that they have any of those guys in this offense right now. So,
and then
the matchup is fantastic. Just I can't believe they
one last add too. We mentioned it, Jets defense. And to be honest with you, I mean Bills defense too ain't that bad against Darnold.
That game is going to be so awful.
It's going to be like 6-3.
Oh my goodness, that game's going to
just
be
just
so
repeat
awful.
Repeat the Dolphins Jets game of 13-6 this week. And that's what we'll get.
Yeah,
Bills.
Yep.
Bills Jets.
Hey man, if you've got a ticket for that game this week, Darnold. Peterman at the Meadowlands. Have fun with that one.
That game falls into the category of because the schedule maker said so.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, oh, wow, that's a downer. All right, so those are the waiver wire guys. Of course, Graham writes the waiver wire column. He has the deep dive. He has players to drop. He's got streamers for you. What I like to call the suite of waiver wire articles for us on NFL.com. So check those out during the week. Before we go, it is time for Monday Moaning, where you guys get to kind of vent a little bit and talk about all the things that went sideways. I actually started off with the fact that I started Jordan Reed in the league, so I thought maybe this was going to be the week, and it wasn't. So I'm salty. But Eddie, I assume you've got some tweets for people who are equally salty.
Yeah, of course. Thanks to everyone who tweeted at Marcus with the Monday Morning tweets. First, I'm going to start off with, started Mark Ingram. Silly me thought he'd at least get 40% split.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I said on Fantasy Live last week that I thought game script could go against him. I figured because it would be close that the Saints would stay up-tempo, and that would mean a lot more Alvin Kamara. And that's kind of, I think, what happened a little bit.
Next one up is, started Joe Flacco in the John Brown stack. Hashtag Monday Morning.
Yeah, Flacco, man. That's one of the Fabs 5 quarterbacks you just can't trust this season. His numbers lately have been very bad.
Yeah.
And even at home, I mean, he had 20 against Pittsburgh earlier this season on the road. And then he goes home and stinker.
I've had to back off my Flacconnaissance. Like, I really thought this was going to be the bounce back year for Flacco. That's just not happening.
Yeah. Nope.
So.
Started Lamar Miller over Jordan Howard. Lost by less than 2 points.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see decision.
I can see the process. Mm-hmm. I can understand it. It just didn't work out.
Yep.
Raiders defense. Hashtag Monday Morning.
Yeah. Everyone could come after me for that one because I posted a tweet and said, third string quarterback against the Raiders. I mean, if you're hurting, like, so here's what's funny. So 10 leagues, I started him in 2 leagues. One league, it didn't cost me at all. The other league, the team that I had replaced them with was the Redskins, and they had nothing. So I went from 0 to -1. But, hey, I eat it, man. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. That one was a loss. My big issue there, Eddie, was that I thought that the Raiders were an NFL team, and they're not.
No.
And they're not. I mean, and they don't give a rat's patootie, and they've quit on their coach. My bad.
They're playing for the number one pick.
My bad.
It's more so Gruden has quit on them.
Yeah, I think that's probably a better description.
That's true.
We can end with this one. I think this might be my favorite hashtag Monday Morning of all time from at Can of Worms. Won my matchup by a ton, but my opponent was my wife. She's kind of pissed. Hashtag Monday Morning.
Yeah, man. Life's full of trade-offs. You know, you got to pick your battles. And so I wish you the best of luck for the upcoming week and see how that works out for you. But hey, you got to win. So, you know, that part. Oh man, that'll do it for us, man. Appreciate you as always tuning in like it's a radio show, but whatever, downloading and listening. Please just keep downloading it. If you could go and subscribe and rate and review on iTunes too, I mean, we don't ask you to do that enough, but if you could, that'd be great, because that certainly helps us out a lot. We'll be back with you again later on in the week. Always remember, squares and triangles agree that circles are pointless. See you on Thursday.